In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beakbreaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We had a conversation yesterday debating a quake take from Paul Feinbaum. Should Lincoln Riley have been fired last year? Unacceptable coaching job. We thought, you know what, let's follow up on that with somebody who's close to the program, a good friend of the program here, Ryan Abraham, at Inside Troy on Twitter and the owner and publisher of USCFootball.com. Ryan, good morning to you, man. Thanks, as always, for the time up here in Portland. Paul Feinbaum with the take. He would have fired Lincoln Riley after last season. Seems laughable, but we did want to check in just on that note. What is the temperature down there for Lincoln Riley going into year three?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. It's good to still do a familiar, radio program now that USC's moving to the Big Ten. Like, I did Big Ten radio on Sirius the other day. I'm like, this is so weird.
But, getting calls from, like, Rutgers radio stations and Maryland radio stations. What am I doing?
Yeah. Very strange. It's going to be a whole new world out there. But, yeah, those were interesting. I think, even if USC wanted to fire Lincoln Riley, I mean, he signed a huge contract. I don't know the intimate details of it, but I think it would be very difficult to get out of that one now. But, I mean, I see where he's coming from. But when USC went out and hired him, they hadn't done something like that for really 100 years, like back in the Howard Jones days when they hired. I mean, I think he won a national championship at Yale. But they've never really gone out and hired an experienced coach that was proven at the college level and had success. And, you know, Riley had some Heismans and playoff appearances. So he's, as far as resume goes, that's as good as USC has been able to do. And yeah, it was a big step back last year. I know he took over an absolute mess from Clay Helton, and there's issues. I think there's concerns when you look at like what the program has been. But I think when you take a big swing like that, you have to give him a shot. You have to give him time to figure it out. You know, he took over a great situation at Oklahoma and was able to continue it. It's a different thing than taking over, you know, an absolute mess, what he did at USC. So I get where he's coming from there, and maybe you're just trying to cut bait a little early, but I think if you're USC, you made that hire for a reason, and you got to hope it works out, and we'll see if it does. But I don't think he's going anywhere, at least on the USC side of things, anytime.
Well, I think one thing, Ryan, that a lot of us, and I think people around the Pac-12 and now in the Big Ten, kind of thought when Lincoln made this decision to go to USC and go to SoCal was, oh my God, you've got that offensive mind, and now he's in LA, and here we go. They're going to be at the top of the recruiting world. I don't know how much is coach anymore versus your collective is put together well, or whatever it is. How do you sum up what recruiting has been for Lincoln Riley and USC, and how put together would you say for us is USC's collective? Because I've always heard that it's an underrated part of the new landscape of college football is how put together your collective is. What is the intel with USC's recruiting strategy and how it's gone with Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly not gone as well as everyone thought. I think when Riley first came over, he had a few five stars that were committed to Oklahoma, ends up switching to USC. Of course, he brings in Caleb Williams and he wins the Heisman the first year. So there was a lot of optimism early on, but it just, for whatever reason, it hasn't caught on. His strategy has been interesting. He hasn't tried to kind of lock up California. There's a lot of local guys that got offers later, and he was going after national guys first. It just hasn't worked all that well. And I don't think it's any one thing. I think USC has been slow to adapt to this new landscape of college football. They weren't even involving their collective in the recruiting process until that, the Tennessee, I think it was Virginia case, a while back. They were following what the intended rules of the NCAA were, which some schools were, but a lot of schools weren't. They were just getting, boosters involved in the recruiting process. And USC said, no, we're not going to do that. Now you can. So I feel like they've been playing catch up on that side of it. It's a huge part of recruiting now. I mean, it's just a really big deal. I think they've made a lot of good strides with their collective, but they also have three different ones, so that can be a little clunky. I think it's more about less than just what is the collective doing or what's recruiting. It's kind of how it's all working together. They don't all seem to be on the same page, and I think, you know, that's, it's hurting them. I think they're coming along, but they've just kind of been behind that a little bit and not been able to recruit at the high level that you expect USC to be able to recruit, especially with like a, you know, a high name, you know, high powerful coach like Lincoln Riley.
Interesting. Ryan Abraham is our guest at Inside Troy on Twitter, USCfootball.com. One of our favorites talking USC after we had a little debate on our show about Paul Feinbaum's comments yesterday that Lincoln Riley should have been turfed. And your answer to that is, I think, spot on. USC's not going to make that move. That's one of those, let's throw some hot takes out. It's the offseason. It'll get everybody kind of conversing about this. But it was interesting, Ryan, and I'm curious your thoughts, because we ended up having a follow-up conversation about Feinbaum's comments. And my co-host had mentioned, you know, hey, you go 8-4 this year, your defense takes some strides. Like, that's a really good year. And I agree with where he's coming from, but I also think it's funny to think of, imagine saying that when Lincoln Riley is hired, like in year three. Year 8-4 is a good year, man. We're making progress. What are the expectations for them this year? Caleb is gone. We knew how talented once in a generation kind of quarterback down there. You got a new starter who looked really good in the bowl game. You open with a tough non-conference game against LSU. What are reasonable expectations? What makes USC fan happy this year?
Yeah, it's a great question, because if you swap like his first 2 years, if they go from 4-8 to 7-5 and then 11 wins, you'd be like, oh, that's great.
He's going in the right direction, yeah.
You know, he overachieved, I think, in year one and won a Heisman, which is important to USC fans and all that, and then you really just kind of fell apart later in the season. So I think the expectations are always going to be high with at least the fan base. But I think going into the Big Ten, there's a lot of unknowns, and you know, you're just kind of wondering, like how's this going to work with all the travel and everything? Their schedule's tough. I mean, you have, you know, the Big Ten schedule plus LSU and Notre Dame out of conference. I do think 8-4 would be, you know, it'd be pretty good. I guess it depends how it looks, but you know, I think the 9-3 thing, I think people would like really like to see them get to that point where you're in the discussion for one of the playoff spots, and USC's never made the playoff before. And I think the schedule sets up okay if they are better on defense and they don't take too big of a step back on offense, because they play a lot of really good teams, and they're, you know, they're playing Michigan and at Washington and, you know, Penn State, and like I mentioned, LSU, Notre Dame, but they don't play probably the two most talented rosters in the Big Ten, in Ohio State and Oregon. So avoiding both of those schools, I mean, is Michigan going to take a big step back? Is Washington? I think there's an opportunity there to, yeah, lose some tough games, but still, if you go 9-3 with that schedule, like, they're probably in the playoff mix, like third in the Big Ten or something like that. So I feel like that's like a, you know, something that's achievable, but just going 8-4 with the way the schedule's setting up, I think that would be a pretty big improvement. But it's all going to be about what does the defense look like, because they can't be ranked in the hundreds like they were the last couple of years. So I think the fans might actually not be that upset, especially if you beat like UCLA and Notre Dame. But the, you know, I think that's kind of a reasonable expectation, but fans aren't always reasonable. But it's I think it's going to be the reality this year with so many tough games and this whole new Big Ten schedule that they just haven't been, you know, never been used, never seen before. It's going to be a whole different ballgame.
I think aside from being so connected and plugged in and doing an exceptional job on the website, one reason we like having you is you're pretty rational. You're not one of these psycho diehards that's like, hey, we're the best team in the country. Will you? I'm curious, though, when you go through the website, how much is Oregon in the kitchen of the USC fan right now? Because the recruiting thing has been fascinating. Oregon's had some good seasons. Dan Lanning recruiting at a really good level. Just USC's fans worry about how good Oregon has become in recruiting and what they may become on the field this year because they're so loaded in talent.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big part of it. I think there's a huge amount of frustration because the game has changed. And I think you've seen teams adapt to the new landscape of college football, and Oregon being one of them that's done it the best. You know, it's great to have, you know, Phil Knight backing and all that, but it's a button down approach. You have like Nike executives helping, and it's Oregon's doing it they're doing it right, you know, and USC just hasn't been. And to lose players to Oregon, or, you know, guys going other places like Ohio State or Texas A&M, it's really frustrating for the fan base. So there's a lot of criticism of the collective or what's going on with the staff and all that. But I think it's just one of those things that you sort of relied on a lot of the tradition and a lot of the putting guys in the NFL and the, you know, coming to Los Angeles and all, whatever, weather, all those things. And those have all been, I mean, they're still important to a lot of recruits, but there's a factor that's bigger to everyone, and it's, you know, dollars. And until they kind of get that piece right, it's not just the amount of money, but just being, making the right offers and keeping the players on your roster happy. There's a lot that goes into it that you have to keep kind of rolling, and they just haven't done that. So seeing Oregon, you know, do that, and then thinking Oregon was left behind, and then they end up joining the Big Ten, you know, it's a big deal with USC fans. So it's one of those things they're trying to deal with, but it's we see it on the message boards all the time. So, you know, Oregon got another 5-star commit, and then they're complaining about Phil Knight and all this stuff. So, but it's a big part of it, yeah.
It'll make for a fun rivalry, obviously, going forward in the Big Ten. Are you heading to the Big Ten Media Days? Are you going to Indy?
We got I got three of my people going out there, so I won't be going. Yeah, all my staff wanted to go. So I'm like, all right, I'll let you guys go handle in Indianapolis. I want to wait till they come out to Vegas. Hopefully,
yeah, a little bit better trip going to going to Vegas and Indianapolis. That's for sure. Ryan Abraham, Inside Troy on Twitter. He's one of our favorites. USCFootball.com. Thanks for the insight, the update. I'm sure we're going to be reaching out to you as football season is right around the corner. We can't wait. Thanks as always, man.
I don't know. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Abraham talking USC football. Oregon's in the kitchen. Feels like 8-4 is a good year. To your point from yesterday, show defensive strides. And I didn't really think about his scheduling anecdote there, too, of that they don't have to play Ohio State and they don't have to play Oregon this year, who some would, at least going into the year, argue with the two best teams in the conference. So while it's still a challenging schedule, there's not maybe a team that should be able to talent-wise overpower you like potentially Oregon or USC could.
I think it's all just about timing for them, right? Like you mentioned, they play Michigan fairly early in the year.
Week three, I think, right out of the gate.
But see, like, as good as Michigan's probably going to be, I think they're going to be loaded on defense, and we'll see what they are offensively. It's about when you play Michigan. Playing at Michigan is not easy. Playing at Michigan when it's like 79 degrees, that fits really well with Lincoln Riley offense. Yeah. Miller Moss is going to be a very interesting game. They also get Wisconsin at home, so you don't have to go to Wisconsin.
Yep.
You're at Minnesota. I mean, come on. You should be rowing the boat. PJ Fleck tried to go to UCLA. I just don't have a lot of faith that the Gophers are going to be good. And then Penn State, you get Penn State at home. Like, you go look at it. Your toughest road game is Washington. Well, Michigan, obviously, but I mean, like late in the season.
Later in the year.
You're at Washington. You get Rutgers at home, Penn State at home, Notre Dame at home, at UCLA, and you get Nebraska at home. You avoid actually a lot of cold weather situations late in the year, and you got a lot of big opponents coming to your house. So if you can salvage, be 8-4, maybe flirt with 9-3, and your defense isn't embarrassing. I think people just need to continue to be patient. It was also good to hear him basically say, Lincoln has took a bad approach, but also not as quite prepared for what this world is of college football collectively.
No, that's been the take behind the scenes down there for a while.
And I think that's, you know, that's what needs to get some people off of his neck. He's not maybe a perfect coach, certainly has his flaws, but I'll take that offensive mind all day, especially if he's going to give me elite quarterback play the way he has in his career. If he nailed the defensive hire, now it's on the university. Get your ass together, and we can start recruiting with some of these bigger boys.
Well, it's interesting, too. Three teams on that schedule you would traditionally circle as, ooh, tough game. We have no clue how good they're going to be. LSU, I'm assuming it's going to be good, but we don't know. Michigan won a national championship, but they lost a ton, including their coaching staff.
And we underrated.
And Washington's the same thing. They were undefeated last year, so you're like, ooh, that's a tough trip to Seattle. Assuming they'll be good, but I have no clue how good Washington's going to be this
Nebraska
year.
Coming to your place, same thing. Like,
yeah, very similar.
Nebraska going to take a big step this year with Raiola.
So Ryan Abraham with an update on USC. A couple of notes coming up next. One of them, we'll give you an update quickly on what's going on in the Open Championship. Bit of carnage overseas. We'll get back to some football stuff at the bottom of the hour. Also, another milestone. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, we got a bit of carnage going on. We'll get to that in a moment. Do we want to talk about or have any thoughts on or want to opine on K Caitlin Clark breaking the WNBA record with 19 assists in a game last night?
I don't really have anything to opine on. She's been fantastic.
That was awesome. She also set the record in the WNBA for most, was it like points accounted for? Because like she had 24 on her own, had 19 assists.
Yeah.
And she scored or assisted on 66 points for Indiana. That is the most in a game in history, surpassing Diana Taurasi, who did it 65 in 2006. So she got her by a point.
Let's not overlook the fact they still lost, and that team can't play defense yet. So
I was going to say it's a very bad loss for him, actually.
She was pissed after the game. Well, I saw some of the post-game comments.
Aaliyah Boston interrupted a question towards Caitlin Clark of like, hey, what does it mean? And she just stopped and goes, she's going to say it's no big deal. It was pretty awesome what she did yesterday.
I mean, 19 assists is wild in a game.
Oh, she's been fantastic. She's a little bit of a slow start, but they also kind of just threw her into a gauntlet to start her career. Like, hey, go play all the great teams on TV. And I think she had played 7 games before some teams had even played 3. Their schedule's eased up a bit, but they're still not a very good team. I'm glad you brought this up, because they did do something egregious. And I hate that, like, anytime that league gets talked about, it's usually like, hey, we're pissed about something.
Yeah.
But as somebody that's been following and watching, how is she not in the three-point contest?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they announced the three-point contest yesterday, and she's not in it.
What?
Yeah.
Well, get the hell out of here.
Hold on. I want to make sure I didn't get butt-cracked sports.
I mean, talk about not more. I know they're taking a month off for the Olympics. Is there also an All-Star break that's connected to that?
The All-Star break is this. The All-Star game is this.
It's this Friday.
Weekend.
Okay,
it's
and tomorrow. Then the Olympics starts.
So Stephanie Dolson, Jacquel Jones, Alicia Gray, Marina Mabry, who just got traded to the Sun, and Kayla McBride.
My God, what are you doing?
Read the room.
I mean, do they need...
Even a little bit. Please read the room.
Does somebody in the WNBA need to take a marketing class on how to market your product?
Well, here's the other thing.
You went into the whole Olympic thing. Whatever, that's fine. She didn't earn it. Whatever. I still think that's dumb. She should be on the Olympic team.
Sure.
Three-point contest is inexcusable.
I got another one. I got another gripe for you.
What are we doing?
They signed their media deal, and it was a $2.2 billion deal. They made $200 million a year.
I don't know how much control the WNBA had over their own media. It's part of the NBA. So the NBA still owns 60% of the WNBA.
Okay, so if that's the deal, then okay. But if it was their choice, I would say, why? Why would you ever, when your ratings and all your eyeballs are going up? And by the way,
through the roof,
it's largely Caitlin, but they have tracked it. It's not just Caitlin, but it's largely Caitlin.
Are they starting to see some carryover to the rest? Yeah.
Rising tide lifts all boats, man.
Angel Reese has been good for the league. I don't know why you'd agree to an 11-year deal. Now, if that's the NBA's,
I think it's
dealings,
piggybacked off of the.
Let's just get long-term security.
Because the new NBA deal is 11 years, so I think the bulk of it. Now, there's other pieces of it, like the pieces with ION and CBS and whatever is separate. But I think the piece with ESPN and Amazon is wrapped into somehow the bigger overall NBA deal with ESPN, ABC, and Amazon.
Yeah, 11 years is, I mean, if we've learned anything from the ACC, it's don't do stupid things for that long.
No.
Sabrina should have been in the three-point contest, and Caitlin Clark should be in the three-point contest. They're massive draws. I just bought Storm tickets to go see Sabrina in August. So I'll be in Seattle for the Friday after our show, and then I get to wake up Saturday, watch a little Clemson, Georgia, and then get home just in time for Ducks and Beavers season openers against the Idaho schools.
Thrilling games. What are we talking about here? I can't wait. Idaho State's in town.
But yeah, it's been a good year. I saw that yesterday, though, and I'm like, really? You're not going to put her in the three-point contest?
They only announced 5 names. Are they still... Are there still names to be added?
No, it says these are participants.
Is she in the All-Star game at least?
Yeah, she's on. So the WNBA All-Stars are playing the U.S. Olympic team that's headed over to Paris.
Oh, that's
that
a good
is
idea.
The All-Star game.
Smart move.
That's a great idea.
That's a smart move.
I hope she torches them. That'd be great. Another reminder of why she should be on the team.
So everybody's looking forward to Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark playing together against, you know, the GOATs.
I think it's fun. I mean, there was a lot of conversation around this going into her joining the WNBA about growing pains, and she's in for she's going to have to learn. And a lot of that, she did get off to a tough start. Those first few games are rough. But as you kind of pointed out, I remember watching some of them, and it's like, I feel like they're the only team playing every night. Like, some teams have played 2 games, and they're already at 10. The schedule doesn't make any sense.
Well, they had some weird schedule games. Like, my wife was like, wait, that game was 3 hours ago. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why it's on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, make a lot that of sense. Was they have one day in the summer because they do a whole bunch of basketball camps or whatever for young girls. And they've been doing that in the league for a number of years.
So they do the camp and then play the game in the afternoon.
So you have an early start game like at noon or whatever.
They've done this a couple times. This was not a one-day thing.
Mm.
They had, a week ago, they had two games at 11 a.m.
Yeah, that was the camp day.
Okay, well, yesterday both the games were done before 5 o'clock p.m.
It doesn't seem like it's a great way to
market. The Caitlin game was done at 2.
Was it done that early in the day?
Like... No, it was at 4:30. We were watching it. It was 4:30 Pacific on ESPN.
Okay, then I'm thinking of the Dallas game then, the Wings. That game was on at like 2 o'clock.
They were playing the Wings.
No, okay, well, then it was the other game that was on. God.
Who's on first?
There were two games yesterday. You didn't even know that. You thought there
was
one.
ESPN. I was
No, you watched the ESPN game. You didn't know there were two.
That was the Fever and the Wings. 4:30 p.m.
Who's on first?
Who's on first? I can't jump into this argument because I was not watching. I just saw that she had 19 assists, and that's awesome.
So who won between the Dream and the Lynx?
That game I did not watch.
Oh, suddenly there's a second game.
Two games.
Because it was on before.
Okay.
You're going to correct me? Come correct, Oracle.
You're going to take a shot at the king, don't miss.
They've done early games multiple times this season. It's not a one-day special camp thing.
It doesn't seem like a great idea. One-off maybe, you know, for the entire year, that makes sense. Let's do something for the kids. But throughout the summer when you're trying to get more eyeballs.
Well, is 5 p.m. local time start really early?
No, I think we should move up start times. I'm glad that my baseball team did. They moved their start times for Giants games up to like 6:45.
Was it in Atlanta or Minnesota?
It was in Minnesota.
So it's 4 p.m. local time.
Yeah. Is that early to you? It's pretty early to me.
In the summer, I don't think it's too early. I'm okay with 4 o'clock starts. I'm also an old that goes to bed at 9 o'clock every night, so that's kind of my nighttime anyways. I'm eating dinner at 4 o'clock.
So is your argument like, who cares about the West Coast time zone?
That's been sports forever.
Yeah. We have 2 o'clock NBA games pretty regularly. With a lot of 4 o'clock start times in the NBA.
I don't know, the WNBA would get you guys all riled
up. Well, he's over there
here
pretending because he saw one game. Yeah, this has happened one time. This has happened multiple times. I have league pass.
Oh, man. 19 assists, though. Pretty damn cool. Caitlin Clark's having a really good year, and she should be on Team USA and definitely should be in the three-point contest. There's a hot take.
I am curious if she turned it down.
The three-point contest?
Which I wouldn't understand why.
I wouldn't either. That's one. Yeah, why would you not want to do that?
Sabrina participated in the NBAs.
She did.
I don't know why she wouldn't be.
I mean, they should both do that next year. Give me like Sabrina and Caitlin Clark in a shoot-off with Steph and whoever else. Didn't Sabrina almost beat Steph in their three-point contest? Yeah. That was
awesome. I think
awesome.
He beat her with like
a last shot or
six
something.
Or seven balls left. Yeah.
So there you go. 19 assists. I didn't get to the carnage. We will get to the carnage. Also, are we tired of this guy yet? Is that a thing? Because he was in the news again. We'll get to that. Our people didn't say these two arguing today sound like brothers fighting over who gets the bigger half of the muffin.
No, I want the muffin. No, I
want
muffin.
The bigger piece. A little bit of carnage overseas this morning. I woke up to see my boy Rory was already like 5 over by the time my alarm went off. So that was fun. He was, he finished 7 over today?
7 over.
7 over. Bryson was in a world of pain, but he ended up salvaging his round of hair to get to 5 over with a late eagle on 16.
He finished at 5 because I saw
five
him at
over.
2 and then he went to 3. So
he did not have a hole where he marked a score under par until the 16th hole of his round. It was all pars, bogeys, or double bogeys. Until he eagled the 16th hole. He was 7 over, got an eagle on 16, finished at 5 over. There are a lot of notable golfers with relatively high scores, and I don't know if we were expecting this level of carnage. I knew the weather was going to be a little blistery, but as I said yesterday on the show, the last time Royal Troon hosted an Open Championship, you had two guys shoot 63s. Phil did it in the opening round. Henrik Stenson did it in the last round. Now, the weather was different.
The weather was different. It was sunny and
warm. I know.
Warm
that's just,
and
you got like eight guys under par. That's it. It's playing is, like a U.S.
This,
Open.
This is the Open Championship I'm used to watching.
Yep. Same.
So I mean, we had it last year, except for Brian Harmon, who played in these conditions and got to like 20 under par.
Oh, is it 20?
I mean, I don't know what he officially finished at, but he ran away from everybody. And nobody else could keep up.
Yeah, the previous two, I think Cam was in the 20s, and I want to say Harmon was 13 under. So it's like they both went really low.
He boat raced the field. And yeah, at St. Andrews 2 years ago, they were super low.
I asked Swag during the break, like, what do you think the cut line is going to be right now? He thinks it's around four-ish.
So that sounds about right.
Plus four, plus five, unless conditions get a lot easier tomorrow. But
doesn't seem like it will.
Winds are blowing 15 to 20 miles an hour consistently.
Look, if anybody can cut some strokes down and make this, it's the guy who grew up in it. So Rory had a bad day.
I mean, he's not going to win the tournament. He might make the cut.
No, not going to win the tournament. But also, like, I mean, no disrespect. You mean Justin Thomas is going to be 300 tomorrow?
Yeah.
The way he's been golfing, this has been up and down for him. So we'll see. I still think Rory can make the cut, though.
Brooks Koepka's on fire right now. He just birdied four straight holes. I don't know what he did on
He
did on number eight. Okay. So he bogeyed two and three, and then he birdied four, five, six, seven. Maybe a bogey coming at eight. Other than that, I mean, you got a few other guys that are notable. You mentioned Justin Thomas at three under. Sepp Strakas at one under. Justin Rose is on a nice little run. Adam Scott picking up where he left off last weekend at the Scottish Open. Spieth is one under. Xander Schauffele's one under. Tony Finau at even par. Where he be now? He's in the mix. Okay. Tony Finau sniffing around. Got a few guys hanging. But I do like it when you get these blistery rain. It feels like you're at Bandon in November.
Yes.
When I'm watching this golf tournament.
Yes.
And it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to watch. Caleb Williams finally signed his contract in Chicago. Finally happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Curious stories coming out of
him. I mean, it's just, he's a unique dude, and
he's
interesting to talk about.
He doesn't have a traditional agent.
He does not.
He's got lawyers, right, and managers.
So he was trying to figure out ways where he can, like, get his money funneled into an LLC for tax purposes.
NFL said,
smart move.
And the NFL was like, no. He asked for all these different things.
Player contracts are signed with players.
Yes, they are. And then he also asked in his rookie deal, and this is just kind of a unique way to start your relationship. I get where he's coming from, and the Bears were like, unequivocally, no. He wanted to put in his contract that they could not franchise tag him, and the Bears did not waffle on that and said absolutely not. Now, Dak Prescott did have that in his deal, but that was in a later contract.
Not your rookie deal.
Was that in his second time? Because he did get tagged the first time.
He did get, I think it was after he got tagged and signed the deal, he said, you cannot tag me again, and they said, okay, we'll put that in the deal. No. Great negotiating, Jarrah, but Caleb with some interesting strategies, but he finally signed his deal in Chicago. So did Roma Dunze, by
the way. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that he was looking for different unique things. He's always been a different cat. I'll give you a take. I think I'd give him the no tag. If that is something that would give me a slight upper hand going forward in a good faith relationship.
Starting off on the right note.
And look, it's never easy to say that out loud and actually be the person doing it, because we don't know who any of these guys are going to be in the NFL, no matter what our takes are. Yeah, sure. Because if you're a bust, I'm probably not excited about even year four, and I'm trying to get out of it at that point anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're above a bust, I'm probably going to want to pay you. So, like,
you're going to get your deal probably in year three, like all these other young quarterbacks have.
The only thing I would wonder from the labor standpoint is, are you setting a precedent or is this a standalone?
Yeah, I don't even think this is about Caleb. But you remember how much backlash there was from owners when Haslam signed Deshaun's deal, fully guaranteed.
We've still heard from that backlash.
There may not be technically collusion going on between the owners, but I got to imagine if you were the first owner to give a rookie quarterback the no franchise tag, you are getting death stares in the next owner's meeting.
And every quarterback's going to ask for that in their rookie years.
And every other owner is just icing you out of anything, you know, that you might want to do as an owner.
Should remember, as a Bear, too, they got this deal done a lot quicker and sooner than they did when they got Roquan Smith out of the draft. That one took a hell of a long time.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I understand that he's the flashier name. Be like, hey, Caleb finally signed, huh? McCarthy hasn't.
Oh, JJ, I didn't even know that. JJ McCarthy hasn't signed his deal
exactly,
yet.
Exactly, because MAGA McCarthy is more boring than Caleb
Williams.
Well,
we all know McCarthy sucks. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, that's why nobody's talking about
him. Kevin O'Connell doesn't.
He threw 10 passes in a big game this year. He's Jimmy Garoppolo of college football. What are we doing? Nobody cares. Okay. Okay. My old high school football coach is a diehard Vikings fan. We were down there a couple weeks ago on our golf trip.
Is he feeling like Chuck?
No, he's trying to do the optimistic. I was ribbing him the entire trip. Like, J.J. McCarthy's your quarterback? That's where you went? You took him the top 12 pick? J.J. McCarthy? Really?
I mean, look, they clearly wanted to replace Kirkers.
Can't even throw a baseball, man. That's your quarterback?
All right. Yeah. But it is funny.
Sorry,
that, like,
Chuck, I love you, but this bad pick.
Chuck is in hell right now. I mean, Chuck's not happy. This has been the biggest story, I think, of the rookie class. You know, he was unsigned.
He's the headliner. Caleb's the headliner.
He's the number one pick. We get it. And it's been a big deal in Chicago sports radio. It's just funny that, like, McCarthy is the last one not signed of these guys. Not a peep. Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe kind of a big deal that the guy we all think kind of sucks just refusing to sign his rookie contract for whatever reason.
Just not coming to an agreement yet. I will say, they're going to have some, I don't know what leverage they're going to use. The NFL is going to push for 18 games. They're going to get there.
It's going to happen.
There's got to be a concession the other direction to kind of take this Caleb conversation and make it league-wide. This should be their dying hill. You want 18 games? Get rid of the franchise tag. Pay us or don't pay us. Commit or don't commit. You don't want to give me a long-term contract? Let me be a free agent. You want to re-sign me? Then re-sign me. I hate that teams have this ability to hold this over guys' heads and basically hold them hostage of saying,
yeah,
we're going to keep you from making your fair market value because we have a rule that says, despite you've been here for 4 or 5 years on a rookie deal, we can now throw one more year where you're locked up and can't leave.
We're horrible managing the salary cap.
It's ridiculous that this exists.
That we punish you, the player.
Yes.
You think the NFL is going to give that up for the other
Probably
game?
Not, because the players always get railroaded in these negotiations. Yeah. But if they had a pair of balls and threatened, like, you want 18 games, all this extra revenue, I have now an increased chance of getting hurt on my tag season, which it hurts my chances in free agency. Like, this would be the one that I would die
this
on.
This is where the owners always have the advantage because there's only 32 of them, and they probably only have to get, like, 25 on the same page.
For a majority, yeah.
As opposed to an entire players association where you have to get all of the rank and all the membership.
Yeah.
On the same page about what they're going to go in and hold the line about.
Yeah. Well, I hope they die on that hill because they shouldn't get tagged. But Caleb Williams tried to get it in his first contract. Chicago said no. He also tried some other unique strategies in the NFL, politely told him no, and he has signed his deal in Chicago. Let's wrap it up on a Thursday. We'll do it next on The Fan. Well, Joe Fisher wants me to fist fight him before I leave the office today. Take shots at my boy, huh? It's going after Rory.
Fisher's proud.
Joe Fisher is the Skip Bayless of this radio station when it comes to Rory McIlroy. He is. He is the Skip Bayless to Rory as the real Skip Bayless is to LeBron James. That's what he has decided to die on that hill.
Skip Bayless is about to be unemployed, so I hope that's not Joe.
Yeah. Joe's going to be, he'll be employed for a long time, unless we get in a fight in the parking lot on my way out. But taking advantage, my boy didn't have a good day. 7 over par. But we watch nonetheless. The Open Championship continues. What do we got on the docket tonight? You guys got anything on your radar this evening in the sports world? Are we in dry June or dry July right now?
I thought there was one single Major League Baseball game, but I guess that was an experiment and they decided it didn't work. So.
We do get a massive series this weekend, which will begin tomorrow in Seattle.
Oh,
they host the Astros. They host the Astros.
Braves host the Cardinals.
Red Sox, Dodgers.
Yeah, that too.
No, yeah.
That'll be on The Fan Saturday and Sunday.
Hey, look at us.
Giants are at the Rockies.
Hell yeah, we are, brother.
You guys are in Seattle soon.
That's a giver. I'm going up to that game. They're up there in August. I'm going up when they come to town. My dad and brother and my nephew, we're all going up. We did that for a Father's Day gift for everybody.
Boy, we could come in on that Monday or whenever that series ends, and we could come in and Houston could be the division leader.
That's a big one this weekend.
It's a massive one for him.
Looming over everybody's heads.
Nothing for me. This is actually going to be a nice little fun family day. The wife took the day off. We're going to head to a body of water.
There you go.
Was supposed to be the coast.
Not happening.
That lost, that unfortunately.
The Coast battle lost out on a Thursday.
The Coast battle lost for the day, although I'm pushing kind of for Saturday for a Coast day. But
you could go find a river or a lake somewhere and jump in, maybe?
I don't know where we're going.
Okay.
It was an ocean, then it turned into a lake, and then it may be a river.
Now
so
it's a pond. You're going to find a creek on a hike somewhere.
We're getting outdoors. Oh, that's all I know.
Find a trail. Yesterday, I don't know about you guys, if you guys are doing anything outdoors, the heat kind of snuck. It was kind of overcast and cloudy, and then all of a sudden it was like, dude, it is hotter than hell out here.
Shirtless run. I hear. hit it.
Did you right in the middle when that heat started to turn up a little bit?
Yeah, buddy.
Well, we had the shade in mom's backyard actually was
How'd
quite
your pork
nice.
Butt turn out? Good butt
it was
over there?
Fantastic.
Was it a good pork butt?
Good pork butt over there?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What do you do with your pork butt? Do you just eat it like with some stuff or do you make like a slide or what do you do with your pork butt?
I had rolls so you could do like a sandwich, little barbecue sauce. Some people put slaw on it, however you wanted
That's
to do
it.
That's
the best thing about the pork butt because you can do it. You always go.
Or you can just. You know, put eat a pile it. Of it. Yeah. And eat it.
Put some barbecue sauce on it or something.
Yeah.
You always go with the pulled pork sandwiches first. That's what I do with it.
Yep.
And then with the leftovers, I either love doing a pulled pork taco.
Can
which can
that.
Be good, or I love pulled pork nachos.
That's good.
Pulled pork nachos are my
quesadillas
are great too. He's got a meat full of fridge, man, or a fridge full of meat.
I hate to be the soy boy here, but I am morally
I don't
conflicted on eating pork. I feel awful, and yet
why are we conflicted?
What's wrong with
what's the matter with you over there, you electric car driving soy boy?
I'm actually plugged in right now. Actually,
damn right you are.
Pigs are as smart as 8 year olds, dude. You know how we kill those pigs mostly?
Yeah, we got to get them scared right at first, or don't we do something to get their blood pumping more?
No,
or something?
Like big factories, we just gas chamber the hell out of them. Like it's just awful.
Somebody invented that. Do you see that for insects now? We have a gas chamber for insects.
Really?
It's like a.
Tell me more.
It's like a can that comes with a dog cone on the end of it. And so you legit just put it on the ground, the cone surrounds the bug, and then you spray into the cone.
Interesting.
And it's a gas chamber.
See,
for insects,
whatever. Insects. I feel a little bit, but man, do I love eating pig. Pork butts, sliders, it's nachos, so
bacon.
Tacos, bacon.
What are we doing here, man?
Come on. A Cubano. Oh, my God.
Underrated sandwich.
You guys don't
Cubano.
Know how good you taste.
Gotta let them know. Pigs taste good. Well, that'll do it for us, folks. Good little show.
By the way, somebody, Martin, said, if you like comedy, the most recent Kill Tony on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Gillis as Trump is so
They did a Trump-Biden debate with the two. Gillis being Trump is just phenomenal. That will do it for us. Yeah, I'm kind of nothing really going on tonight. Watch a little bit of the Open this afternoon. It's kind of a dead day.
Enjoy
then
the
baseball
weather.
Picks up tomorrow. Yeah.
Enjoy the weather.
Enjoy the sunshine. Do some barbecue and get outdoors. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of our Thursday. Ryan Abraham was on the show at 8. If you missed that, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. We'll tweet it out. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who noticed the Cleveland Warriors hat. Go Warriors. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan. Our Pete Mullins said, these two arguing today sound like brothers fighting over who gets the bigger half of the muffin.
No, I want the muffin. No, I want the bigger piece.
A little bit of carnage overseas this morning. I woke up to see my boy Rory was already like 5 over by the time my alarm went off. So that was fun. He was, he finished 7 over today?
7 over.
7 over. Bryson was in a world of pain, but he ended up salvaging his round of hair to get to 5 over with a late eagle on 16.
He finished at 5 because I saw
five
him at
over.
2 and then he went to 3. So
he did not have a hole where he marked a score under par until the 16th hole of his round. It was all pars, bogeys, or double bogeys. Until he eagled the 16th hole. He was 7 over, got an eagle on 16, finished at 5 over. There are a lot of notable golfers with relatively high scores, and I don't know if we were expecting this level of carnage. I knew the weather was going to be a little blistery, but as I said yesterday on the show, the last time Royal Troon hosted an Open Championship, you had two guys shoot 63s. Phil did it in the opening round. Henrik Stenson did it in the last round. Now, the weather was different.
The weather was different. It was sunny and
warm. I know.
Warm
that's just,
and
you got like eight guys under par. That's it. This playing is, like a U.S.
This,
Open.
This is the Open Championship I'm used to watching.
Yep. Same.
So,
I mean, we had it last year, except for Brian Harman, who played in these conditions and got to like 20 under par.
Oh, was it 20?
I mean, I don't know what he officially finished at, but he ran away from everybody, and nobody else could keep up.
Yeah, the previous two, I think Cam was in the 20s, and I want to say Harman was 13 under, so it's like they both went really low.
He boat raced the field, and at St. Andrews 2 years ago, they were super low.
I asked Swag during the break, like, what do you think's the cut line is going to be right now? He thinks it's around 4-ish.
That
so,
sounds about right.
Plus Rory, 4, plus 5, unless conditions get a lot easier tomorrow. But
which
the
it doesn't seem like it will.
Winds are blowing 15 to 20 miles an hour consistently.
Look, if anybody can cut some strokes down and make this, it's the guy who grew up in it. So Rory had a bad day.
I mean, he's not going to win the tournament. He might make the cut.
No, not going to win the tournament. But also, like, I mean, no disrespect. You mean Justin Thomas is going to be 300 tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wait, well, he's been golfing. See. This has been up and down for him. So we'll see. I still think Rory can make the cut, though.
Brooks Koepka's on fire right now. He just birdied four straight holes. I don't know what he did on
He
did on number eight. Okay. Yeah. So he bogeyed two and three, and then he birdied four, five, six, seven. Maybe a bogey coming at eight. Other than that, I mean, you got a few other guys that are notable. You mentioned Justin Thomas at three under. Sepp Straka's at one under. Justin Rose is on a nice little run. Adam Scott picking up where he left off last weekend at the Scottish Open. Spieth is one under. Xander Schauffele's one under. Tony Finau at even par. Where he be now? He's in the mix. Okay. Tony Finau sniffing around. Got a few guys hanging. But I do like it when you get these blistery rain. It feels like you're at Bandon in November.
Yes.
When I'm watching this golf tournament.
Yes.
And it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to watch. Caleb Williams finally signed his contract in Chicago. Finally happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? Curious stories coming out of
him. I mean, it's just, he's a unique dude, and
he's
interesting
to talk
about. He
doesn't have a traditional agent.
He does not.
He's got lawyers, right, and managers.
So he was trying to figure out ways where he can, like, get his money funneled into an LLC for tax purposes.
NFL said,
smart move.
And the NFL was like, no. He asked for all these different things.
Player contracts are signed with players.
Yes, they are. And then he also asked in his rookie deal, and this is just kind of a unique way to start your relationship. I get where he's coming from, and the Bears were like, unequivocally, no. He wanted to put in his contract that they could not franchise tag him, and the Bears did not waffle on that and said absolutely not. Now, Dak Prescott did have that in his deal, but that was in a later contract.
Not your rookie deal.
Was that in his second time? Because he did get tagged the first time.
He did get, I think it was after he got tagged and signed the deal, he said, you cannot tag me again, and they said, okay, we'll put that in the deal. No. Great negotiating, Jarrah, but Caleb with some interesting strategies, but he finally signed his deal in Chicago. So did Roma Dunze, by
the way. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that he was looking for different unique things. He's always been a different cat. I'll give you a take. I think I'd give him the no tag. If that is something that would give me a slight upper hand going forward in a good faith relationship.
Starting off on the right note.
And look, it's never easy to say that out loud and actually be the person doing it, because we don't know who any of these guys are going to be in the NFL, no matter what our takes are. Yeah, sure. Because if you're a bust, I'm probably not excited about even year four, and I'm trying to get out of it at that point anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're above a bust, I'm probably going to want to pay you. So, like,
you're going to get your deal probably in year three, like all these other young quarterbacks have.
The only thing I would wonder from the labor standpoint is, are you setting a precedent or is this a standalone?
Yeah, I don't even think this is about Caleb. But you remember how much backlash there was from owners when Haslam signed Deshaun's deal, fully guaranteed.
We've still heard from that backlash.
There may not be technically collusion going on between the owners, but I got to imagine if you were the first owner to give a rookie quarterback the no franchise tag, you are getting death stares in the next owner's meeting.
And every quarterback's going to ask for that in their rookie years.
And every other owner is just icing you out of anything, you know, that you might want to do as an owner.
Should remember, as a Bear, too, they got this deal done a lot quicker and sooner than they did when they got Roquan Smith out of the draft. That one took a hell of a long time.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I understand that he's the flashier name. Be like, hey, Caleb finally signed, huh? McCarthy hasn't.
Oh, JJ, I didn't even know that. JJ McCarthy hasn't signed his deal
exactly,
yet.
Exactly, because MAGA McCarthy is more boring than Caleb
Williams.
Well,
we all know McCarthy sucks. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, that's why nobody's talking about
him. Kevin O'Connell doesn't.
He threw 10 passes in a big game this year. He's Jimmy Garoppolo of college football. What are we doing? Nobody cares.
Okay.
My old high school football coach is a diehard Vikings fan. We were down there a couple weeks ago on our golf trip.
Is he feeling like Chuck?
No, he's trying to do the optimistic. I was ribbing him the entire trip. Like, J.J. McCarthy's your quarterback? That's where you went? You took him the top 12 pick? J.J. McCarthy? Really?
I mean, look, they clearly wanted to replace Kirkers.
Can't even throw a baseball, man. That's your quarterback?
All right. Yeah. But it is funny.
Sorry,
that, like,
Chuck, I love you, but this bad pick.
Chuck is in hell right now. I mean, Chuck's not happy. This has been the biggest story, I think, of the rookie class. You know, he was unsigned.
He's the headliner. Caleb's the headliner.
He's the number one pick. We get it. And it's been a big deal in Chicago sports radio. It's just funny that, like, McCarthy is the last one not signed of these guys. Not a peep. Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe kind of a big deal that the guy we all think kind of sucks just refusing to sign his rookie contract for whatever reason.
Just not coming to an agreement yet. I will say, they're going to have some, I don't know what leverage they're going to use. The NFL is going to push for 18 games. They're going to get there.
It's going to happen.
There's got to be a concession the other direction to kind of take this Caleb conversation and make it league-wide. This should be their dying hill. You want 18 games? Get rid of the franchise tag. Pay us or don't pay us. Commit or don't commit. You don't want to give me a long-term contract? Let me be a free agent. You want to re-sign me? Then re-sign me. I hate that teams have this ability to hold this over guys' heads and basically hold them hostage of saying,
yeah,
we're going to keep you from making your fair market value because we have a rule that says, despite you've been here for 4 or 5 years on a rookie deal, we can now throw one more year where you're locked up and can't leave.
We're horrible managing the salary cap.
It's ridiculous that this exists.
That we punish you, the player.
Yes.
You think the NFL is going to give that up for the other
Probably
game?
Not, because the players always get railroaded in these negotiations, yeah. But if they had a pair of balls and threatened, like, you want 18 games, all this extra revenue, I have now an increased chance of getting hurt on my tag season, which it hurts my chances in free agency. Like, this would be the one that I would die on.
This is where the owners always have the advantage because there's only 32 of them, and they probably only have to get, like, 25 on the same page.
For a majority, yeah.
As opposed to an entire players association where you have to get all of the rank and all the membership.
Yeah.
On the same page about what they're going to go in and hold the line about.
Yeah. Well, I hope they die on that hill because they shouldn't get tagged. But Caleb Williams tried to get it in his first contract. Chicago said no. He also tried some other unique strategies in the NFL, politely told him no, and he has signed his deal in Chicago. Let's wrap it up on a Thursday. We'll do it next on The Fan. Well, Joe Fisher wants me to fist fight him before I leave the office today. Take shots at my boy, huh? It's going after Rory.
Fisher's proud.
Joe Fisher, he is the Skip Bayless of this radio station when it comes to Rory McIlroy. He is. He is the Skip Bayless to Rory as the real Skip Bayless is to LeBron James. That's what he has decided to die on that hill.
Skip Bayless is about to be unemployed, so I hope that's not Joe.
Yeah. Joe's going to be, he'll be employed for a long time, unless we get in a fight in the parking lot on my way out. But taking advantage, my boy didn't have a good day. 7 over par. But we watch nonetheless. The Open Championship continues. What do we got on the docket tonight? You guys got anything on your radar this evening in the sports world? Are we in dry July right now?
I thought there was one single Major League Baseball game, but I guess that was an experiment and they decided it didn't work. So.
We do get a massive series this weekend, which will begin tomorrow in Seattle.
Oh,
they host the Astros. They host the Astros.
Braves host the Cardinals.
Red Sox, Dodgers.
Yeah, that too.
No, yeah.
That'll be on The Fan Saturday and Sunday.
Hey, look at us.
Giants are at the Rockies.
Hell yeah, we are, brother.
You guys are in Seattle soon.
That's a giver. I'm going up to that game. They're up there in August. I'm going up when they come to town. My dad and brother and my nephew. We're all going up. We did that for a Father's Day gift for everybody.
Boy, we could come in on that Monday or whenever that series ends, and we could come in and Houston could be the division leader.
That's a big one this weekend.
It's a massive one for him.
Looming over everybody's heads.
Nothing for me. This is actually going to be a nice little fun family day. The wife took the day off. We're going to head to a body of water.
There you go.
Was supposed to be the coast.
Not happening.
That lost, that unfortunately.
The Coast battle lost out on a Thursday.
The Coast battle lost for the day, although I'm pushing kind of for Saturday for a Coast day. But
you could go find a river or a lake somewhere and jump in, maybe?
I don't know where we're going.
Okay.
It was an ocean, then it turned into a lake, and then it may be a river.
Now it's a pond. You're going to find a creek on a hike somewhere.
We're getting outdoors.
Find a trail. Yesterday, I don't know about you guys, if you guys are doing anything outdoors, the heat kind of snuck. It was kind of overcast and cloudy, and then all of a sudden it was like, dude, it is hotter than hell out here.
Shirtless run. I hit it.
Did you right in the middle when that heat started to turn up a little bit?
Yeah, buddy.
Well, we had the shade in mom's backyard actually was
How'd
quite
your pork
nice.
Butt turn out? Good butt
it was
over there?
Fantastic.
Was it a good pork butt?
Good pork butt over there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What do you do with your pork butt? Do you just eat it like with some stuff or do you make like a slider? What do you do with your pork butt?
I had rolls so you could do like a sandwich, a little barbecue sauce. Some people put slaw on it, however you wanted
That's
to do it.
That's the best thing about the pork butt because you can do it.
You can just. You know, put eat a pile it. Of it. Yeah, and eat it.
Put some barbecue sauce on it or something.
Yeah,
you always go with the pulled pork sandwiches first. That's what I do with it.
Yep.
And then with the leftovers, I either love doing a pulled pork taco, which can be good, or I love pulled pork nachos.
That's good.
Pulled pork nachos quesadillas are great too. He's got a meat full of fridge, man, or a fridge full of meat.
I hate to be the soy boy here, but I am morally
I don't know
conflicted on eating pork. I feel awful, and yet
why are we conflicted?
What's wrong with
what's the matter with you over there, you electric car driving soy boy?
I'm actually plugged in right now, actually.
Damn right you are.
Pigs are as smart as 8-year-olds, dude. You know how we kill those pigs, mostly?
Yeah, we got to get them scared right at first, or don't we do something to get their blood pumping more or something?
No, like big factories, we just gas chamber the hell out of them. Like, it's just awful.
Somebody invented that. Do you see that for insects now? We have a gas chamber for insects.
Really?
It's like a...
Tell me more.
It's like a can that comes with a dog cone on the end of it. And so you legit just put it on the ground, the cone surrounds the bug, and then you spray into the cone.
Interesting.
And it's a gas chamber.
See,
for
insects, whatever.
Insects.
I feel a little bit, but man, do I love eating pig. Pork butts, sliders, it's nachos, so
bacon.
Tacos, bacon.
What are we doing here, man?
Come on. A Cubano. Oh, my God.
Underrated sandwich.
You guys don't know how good you taste.
Gotta let them know. Pigs taste good. Well, that'll do it for us, folks. Good little show.
By the way, somebody, Martin, said, if you like comedy, the most recent Kill Tony on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Gillis as Trump is so...
They did a Trump-Biden debate with the two. Gillis being Trump is just phenomenal. That will do it for us. Yeah, I'm kind of nothing really going on tonight. Watch a little bit of the Open this afternoon. It's kind of a dead day.
Enjoy the
baseball
weather.
Picks up tomorrow. Yeah.
Enjoy the weather.
Enjoy the sunshine. Do some barbecue and get outdoors. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of our Thursday. Ryan Abraham was on the show at 8. If you missed that, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. We'll tweet it out. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who noticed the Cleveland Warriors hat. Go Warriors. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan. Well, Joe Fisher wants me to fist fight him before I leave the office today. Take shots at my boy, huh? It's going after Rory.
It's Fisher's problem.
Joe Fisher is the Skip Bayless of this radio station when it comes to Rory McIlroy. He is. He is the Skip Bayless to Rory as the real Skip Bayless is to LeBron James. That's what he has decided to die on that hill.
Skip Bayless is about to be unemployed, so I hope that's not Joe.
Yeah. Joe's going to be, he'll be employed for a long time, unless we get in a fight in the parking lot on my way out. But taking advantage, my boy didn't have a good day. 7 over par. But we watch nonetheless. The Open Championship continues. What do we got on the docket tonight? You guys got anything on your radar this evening in the sports world? Are we in dry June or dry July?
I thought there was one single Major League Baseball game, but I guess that was an experiment and they decided it didn't work. So.
We do get a massive series this weekend, which will begin tomorrow in Seattle.
They host
the Astros.
Host the Cardinals.
Red Sox Dodgers.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be on the Fan Saturday and Sunday.
Hey, look at us.
Giants are at the Rockies.
Hell yeah, we are, brother.
You guys are in Seattle soon.
That's a giver. I'm going up to that game. They're up there in August. I'm going up when they come to town. Taking my dad and brother and my nephew. We're all going up. We did that for a Father's Day gift for everybody.
Boy, we could come in on that Monday or whenever that series ends, and we could come in and Houston could be the division leader.
That's a big one this weekend.
It's a massive one for him.
Looming over everybody's heads.
Nothing for me. This is actually going to be a nice little fun family day. The wife took the day off. We're going to head to a body of water.
There you go.
Was supposed to be the coast.
Not happening.
That lost, unfortunately.
The coast battle lost out on a Thursday.
The coast battle lost for the day, although I'm pushing kind of for Saturday for a coast day. But
you could go find a river or a lake somewhere and jump in, maybe?
I don't know where we're going.
Okay.
It was an ocean, then it turned into a lake, and then it may be a river.
Now it's a pond. You're going to find a creek on a hike somewhere.
We're getting outdoors. That's all I know.
Yesterday, I don't know about you guys, if you guys are doing anything outdoors, the heat kind of snuck. It was kind of overcast and cloudy, and then all of a sudden it was like, dude, it is hotter than hell out here.
Shirtless run. I hit it
right in the middle when that heat started to turn up a little bit.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, we had the shade in mom's backyard actually was.
How'd
quite
your pork
nice.
Butt turn out? Good butt
it was
over there.
Fantastic.
Was it a good pork butt?
Good pork butt over there.
Oh yes. Yeah.
What do you do with your pork butt? Do you just eat it like with some stuff, or do you make like a slider? What do you do with your pork?
We I had rolls, so you could do like a sandwich, a little barbecue sauce. Some people put slaw on it. However you wanted
That's
to do it.
That's the best thing about the pork butt, because you can do it. You always go.
Or
with,
you can just. You know, put eat a pile it. Of it. Yeah, and eat it.
Put some barbecue sauce on it or something.
Mm, yeah,
you always go with the pulled pork sandwiches first. That's what I do with it.
Yep.
And then with the leftovers, I either love doing a pulled pork taco, which can be good, or I love pulled pork nachos.
That's good.
Pulled pork nachos
quesadilla
are my quesadillas are great too. It's got a meat full of fridge, man, or a fridge full of meat.
I hate to be the soy boy here, but I am morally conflicted on eating pork. I feel awful, and yet,
why are we conflicted?
What's wrong with
what's the matter with you over there, you electric car driving soy boy?
I'm actually plugged in right now, actually.
Damn right you are.
Pigs are as smart as 8-year-olds, dude. You know how we kill those pigs, mostly?
Yeah, we got to get them scared right at first, or don't we do something to get their blood pumping more or something?
No, like big factories, we just gas chamber the hell out of them. Like, it's just awful.
Somebody invented that. Do you see that for insects now? We have a gas chamber for insects.
Really?
It's like a...
Tell me more.
It's like a can that comes with a dog cone on the end of it. And so you legit just put it on the ground, the cone surrounds the bug, and then you spray into the cone.
Interesting.
And it's a gas chamber.
See,
for
insects, whatever.
Insects.
I feel a little bit, but man, do I love eating pig. Pork butts, sliders, it's nachos, so
bacon.
Tacos, bacon.
What are we doing here, man?
Come on. A Cubano. Oh, my God.
Underrated sandwich.
You guys don't know how good you taste.
Gotta let them know. Pigs taste good. Well, that'll do it for us, folks. Good little show.
By the way, somebody, Martin, said, if you like comedy, the most recent Kill Tony on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Gillis as Trump is so...
They did a Trump-Biden debate with the two. Gillis being Trump is just phenomenal. That will do it for us. Yeah, I'm kind of nothing really going on tonight. Watch a little bit of the Open this afternoon. It's kind of a dead day.
Enjoy the
baseball
weather.
Picks up tomorrow. Yeah.
Enjoy the weather.
Enjoy the sunshine. Do some barbecuing. Get outdoors. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of our Thursday. Ryan Abraham was on the show at 8. If you missed that, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan. We'll tweet it out. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who noticed the Cleveland Warriors hat. Go Warriors. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.